May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This coming Wednesday is the Feast of the Epiphany. In the time of Jesus' birth, Epiphania was a Hellenistic term that described moments when divine beings clearly intervened in human affairs. And so, in the early centuries of the Christian Church, it came to commemorate the revelation of Jesus to the world as told in the story of the Magi that we just heard today, read by Antoinette. Scholars believe that the Magi were Zoroastrian priests, students of wisdom. They see the signs of Jesus' birth in the heavens, in this mysterious star that leads them right to Bethlehem. There's a biblical study series that I usually quite like, but it disappointed me this week when the commentator proclaimed, "Matthew isn't endorsing astrology. Instead, he cleverly testifies to the power of God, not merely to bring foreigners and those who have up until now been clueless about God's plan into the fold, but even to manipulate nature itself." That last part, manipulating nature, sure, but the cluelessness of other people and this sort of speaking out against astrology, I'm not sure it's important, and I think it actually helps us miss the point. It seems to me that the presence of the Magi is instead an invitation for us to remember that it is often those on the so-called outside who have just the perspective that we need. These priests from another religion are hardly clueless about God's plan. To the contrary, they know from their astrological readings that something extraordinary and holy has happened. They understand the connection between the working of the heavens and events on earth, and they are open to a new revelation of divine love that comes from a religious tradition that's different from their own. I like to imagine that they understand that all true epiphanies must be interconnected. Epiphanies pop like corn everywhere, all the time, one flowing into the next, each pointing beyond itself. The angel pointing to Mary, the star pointing to her son, the Christ child pointing to Jesus' adult ministry with all of its healing and miracles, all of which points to the cross, which flows into the resurrection, and all of that history is present, pointing to the bread and the wine that someday we'll share again together here at the altar. And that bread and wine of the Eucharist point to the fact that God's divine glory is everywhere in the ordinary substances of our daily living. Reality is infused with God's presence. Our own star, the sun, rises every day, trying to get us to remember that we have been given the gift of another day to live. This is a truth that indigenous peoples appreciate and honor by making daily offerings that feed that life. Jesus at his birth is honored by such people, people who study and glimpse the mysterious largesse and grandeur of what God continues to create daily and throughout the eons of time. And when they see God's glory, what do? They make offerings. They open their treasure chests and give what they possess to the holy in their midst, which is exactly what Jesus will do with his whole life. He offers it. Through a life of prayer and attunement to God, Jesus listens at every turn for God's will and always exercises his human freedom, his ability to choose, and he chooses God's will instead of his own over and over and over again. It will get him killed, but he can accept this because he knows that death just leads to more life. In his teachings, he likens himself to a seed of wheat that must fall to the earth and be buried in order to sprout up into new life. Like his mother Mary, who sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord," Jesus knows that life is a gift that is meant to be amplified. Amplified through our individual and unique gifts into service to God, who is the greater good. We are meant to live our lives as epiphanies for others. as followers of Christ, we consent to offer our own lives in service to God. What that will look like for each of us is the stuff of our personal epiphanies, the moments in our lives when we could see or feel the presence of the divine and knew that something was being asked of us. These moments are as numerous as all of the stars and just as varied. Your own life is full of them. No need to think big. Small is good, tiny like the baby Jesus. The moment when you stopped thinking of yourself and remembered to give a friend a call. The thought that you had that became a letter to a bereaved friend. The idea that you had that became an aspect of ministry at Emmanuel. A dream that became a poem. An experience that became a book. The love that became a child. The awareness of others' needs that became your favorite way to volunteer. A sunset that made you pray in gratitude. Something that you learned that gave you a new spiritual practice that woke you up a little bit more to the reality that your life is bigger than you. They keep unfolding, these epiphanies, and we need them desperately because the King Herods always lurk about, trying to destroy what is good. Troubled by the birth of Christ, Herod will kill all the babies and toddlers in the region, the slaughter of the holy innocents. Herod is afraid of losing his power to a rival king. He wants to keep what he has. His life is all about him. This is the world that Jesus is born into. This is the world that we live in still, with our borders and armies and property lines. And it's not just outside of us, in the violence, selfishness, and greed that permeate our culture. It's in us too. Our individualistic tendency to focus on what feels safe and good and comfortable diverts us from manifesting God's self-giving beauty in our lives. So we get lost in our petty concerns and thoughts. We nurse grievances. We hold on to negativity. We live in a deadening and epiphany-stifling world. The good news, though, is that God has infinite compassion on all of it. God loves and embraces our brokenness. God wraps up in flesh to become a part of it. Jesus stretches out his arms on the cross to hold it all. God keeps appearing every night and every day, in every moment offering us more life, feeding us at our tables, prodding us in our dreams, teaching us through the lives of others. So look up at the stars. Look over to your neighbor. Look beyond what you know and ponder what God might reveal to you about who God is, about who you are, about what your next offering will be. Amen.